Well, if you were here the last few weeks, you knew that we took a little break from our series, first because of Mother's Day, as we celebrated mothers and women that day. And then last week, our missionaries from the UK were here, and they shared with us. But today, we're going to jump back into our series, which is simply titled, Our Core Values, which is a series that's really been unpacking our core values here at Dallas Four Square Church. And in this series, we've been taking a closer look at what do these values truly mean to us as a church. Now, if you've been with us at all throughout this series, you know that when we started our church 11 years ago, we had six core values that we felt kind of defined who we were or who God desired us to be as a church. But I share that in one of our staff meetings in this past year, my wife, Stacy, made the comment that, you know, we really have seven core values. And she talked about the fact that generosity is a value that we have always had in our church. We just hadn't identified it as a core value, which I realized was absolutely true, because we have always been about generosity. The people here at Dallas Four Square have always been about generosity, and our letterhead actually proved that, because at the bottom of our letterhead from day one is the phrase that simply says, love generously, live generously, give generously. And so when we kicked off this series, we officially made generosity one of our core values. And so we now have seven core values, which are simply these. Number one, we value God's word. We value worship. We value obedience. We value people. We value authenticity. We value simplicity. And we value generosity. And so here's the thing. When we make decisions at the church, we ask the question, how does this decision that we're making align with our core values? Because these core values, they define who we are and how we operate as a church. And this series is really designed to help all of us better understand what these values mean to us as a church and as individuals. Now, we started off several weeks ago talking about our first core value, God's Word, and just the importance of reading His Word, knowing His Word, understanding His Word, and then living His Word out. And then next we talked about the fact that we value worship. And worship is far more than just singing. That our lives really should be living sacrifices to the Lord. And we talked about how we should glorify God in all that we do, not just Sundays, all that we do, right? And that we should delight in doing it, delight in honoring Him and glorifying Him. And then the last value we talked about was obedience. And the fact that we're called to listen to the Lord and then obey His commands. I know a lot of times we listen, oh yeah, that's nice, but we don't obey, right? We need to obey His commands. That's His desire for our life. It's why it's one of our core values. And so, again, if you missed any of these messages on our core values, I would encourage you to go and watch them or listen to them online, especially if you call Dallas Four Square Church your home church. Because I believe it's important that we all know and understand these values and what they mean to us as a church. Now, this week, we're going to take a look at our fourth core value, which is the fact that we value people. And this morning, I want to take just a little time to answer a few questions. A few questions that I think will help us understand what this value means to us as a church and to each of us as individuals on this journey of following Jesus. And so the first question I want to ask is simply why? Why do we value people? Now, the quick and easy answer to this question is this. Number one, because God commands us to. If you were to go to our website and look at our values page and look at the scriptures underneath this act of valuing people, one of the scriptures you'll find is Matthew 22:39, which simply says, love your neighbor as yourself. It's the second of the great commands, okay? The first being, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then the second being, love your neighbor as yourself. And who is our neighbor? Our neighbor are those people all around us, right? The people that we come in contact with throughout our days. And so we're commanded to love people, all people. And here's the thing. It's impossible for us to love people if we don't value them. If we don't value those people. And if we're honest, maybe that's why it's so hard for us at times to love people the way Jesus has commanded us to, because we've failed to value certain people. The truth is, we all struggle valuing certain people in our world. But here's the thing. God doesn't say, maybe it'd be a good idea if you loved and valued these people, right? That's not how it's worded. He tells us that we are to love people. It's a command. And if you remember when we talked about obedience a few weeks ago, we read the scripture in John 14:15 that basically just said, if you love me, you will obey my commands, right? If you love me, you'll obey my commands. And so loving people and valuing people is something we're commanded to do. That's why it's one of our core values here at Dallas Four Square Church. But let's take that why question here. Why do we value people? Well, let's take it a little farther. Why would God command us to love and value people? Why is it so important to him? And for us to fully understand this question, I think we have to go back to the beginning. To the beginning of creation in Genesis chapter 1. Listen to what God says here in Genesis 1, verses 26 through 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And I forgot to put that part up there. I just realized that. It's down farther on my notes. And I'm like, as I'm reading, I'm like, did I put that last part there? Because it separates by a paragraph. But anyways, that last part. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Now, thinking about that, have you ever noticed how something that you created often has more value to you than other things? Things seem to mean more to us when we've been part of building it or creating it, right? I don't think it's any different with God. Now, the reality is we live in a fallen world. And his creation has been tainted by sin and darkness. But the awesome thing about our Creator is that he sees beyond the part of us, the parts of us that have been tainted by the sin and darkness in this world. And he sees the part of us that has been created in his image. That the key here is the fact that we are his creation. Everyone is his creation. Each one of us has been created by him, and regardless of how far we've fallen or how messed up we are, he still loves us and values us, and he wants us to do the same with his creation. And so the second answer to the why question is this: because people are important to Jesus. People are important to Jesus. And if they're important to Jesus, then they should be important to us, which is why we value people here at Dallas Four Square Church. Now, the second question I want to look at is who. Who are the people that we are supposed to value? And I've kind of hinted and talked about this already, but the quick and easy answer, everyone. Everyone. We're commanded to love and value everyone. All people. Capital A-L-L, right? And again, if you were to take a look at the values page on our website, another scripture you will find there is Mark 16:15, which simply says this: go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. All creation. It doesn't say there, well, preach the good news to just the people you want to share the good news with, right? No, it says all creation, all people. It's funny because if you've been here throughout this series, you've heard me say that Stacy and I really struggled nailing down our core values when we first planted this church. Our first list, we were like, oh, what do we value? And we just start writing these lists out. Our first list had like 20 to 25 values on it, maybe even more. And as I mentioned before, we were reminded by a pastor that if you value everything, then you really value nothing. Because if everything, oh, we value all these things, well, then everything's on the same level, right? Nothing is more important than anything else. Nothing has greater value. And so we had to really pray and seek the Lord to discover what is our core values? What are those things that rise to the top? What are those things that are most important to us as a church? Because there are a lot of things that are important, but what are the most important things? And the interesting thing is that in this process, some of those initial values were actually taken and kind of compressed into one value. And let me explain what I'm talking about. On that first list, we had jotted down several things. One of the things we jotted down was that we valued youth. Being a youth pastor for so long, being someone that all I ever wanted to do was be a youth pastor for life, right? You've heard that story. I wanted to make sure that now if I'm a senior pastor, that our youth are taken care of, that they know we value the youth. And so we put that on the list. We also put that we value kids. We had a 7 and 9 year old when we planted this church. They're now 18 and 20, about to head off to colleges. But we had a 7 and 9 year old, and we wanted to make sure that our kids' ministry wasn't just childcare, right? We wanted to make sure that they were hearing the gospel. We wanted to make sure that they were hearing about Jesus, that all ages, from the oldest to the youngest, however you look at that, that they were hearing the gospel and growing in the Lord, whether they're up here or downstairs, that they were hearing and growing in the Lord. And so we put that we valued kids. We had also put that we valued the broken. And that's because we wanted this church to be a safe place for people who were hurting and struggling, people who had messed up and had failed. We wanted them to feel valued. We had also written that we valued community because we wanted to be about our community and really about the people in our community. And so the more and more we looked at this list, we realized that the common ground of these things that I just talked about was that all of these things focused on people. And so we took those core values and we brought them together to realize that we value people. And it doesn't matter if they're young, if they're old, believer, non-believer, broken, mended, whoever it is, whoever they may be, we know that God loves all people and He values them. It really goes back to our why question. He created all people, and He values all people. The problem is, We're real good at valuing the people that we want to value, right? We're human and we make this mistake, right? We value those who are close to us. We value those who treat us well. We value those who don't cause us any problems, right? We value those that might benefit us or help us out. But what about everyone else? What about those that aren't close to you? What about the people that get on your nerves, right? What about the people who have failed and messed up? What about the people that have actually hurt us? What about the people that the world and us might consider unlovely? Well, I'm thankful that despite my failures and imperfections, God has always valued me. Even when I was in the depths of my sin. Because I know I don't know everybody. I can get on people's nerves. I know I've failed and messed up. I know that unfortunately I've hurt people. And I know at times that I maybe have been considered unlovely. But God still values me. I'm not going to go deep into it this morning. Some of you may or may not have heard my testimony before. But when I was in the Marine Corps, I fell pretty hard in my relationship with the Lord. I started living a life that I knew wasn't the life that God wanted me to live, but I was compromising and I was giving into the things of the world. And to make a long story short, I was home on leave, coming back from Okinawa, getting ready to head to San Diego. And I had been home for 20-some days at this time, 20, I think it was like 27, 28 days, and I had 30 days at home on leave. And I was actually coming out of a place that I should not have been coming out of, a very inappropriate place. It was somewhere around midnight, and I was pulling out of the parking lot of this place onto the main street to head home for that night. And I'll be honest, I was sitting there, I was thinking I was cool, I'm smoking a cigarette. And here's the thing, I could have pulled out onto the street. I can see it today, but there was a jogger coming. I could have easily pulled out in front of him, but I thought, I'll be cool here, and I'll let this guy go by and look like this cool dude coming out of this place that I shouldn't be. But as this jogger got closer, I realized, oh, crud. Although I don't think crud was what came out of my mouth. I was like, I know this guy. He's a youth pastor. He works at Campus Life with my sister. And so I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I ended up kind of turning around, pretending like I was looking for something in the back of my car, hoping that he wouldn't recognize me or notice who I was. He hadn't seen me since I had my buzzed Marine cut, you know, and so I'm thinking maybe he won't notice me, maybe he won't recognize me, maybe he won't say anything to my sister. But anyways, I waited for him to go by, and then I pulled out the opposite direction and headed home and hoping that he didn't see me. But a few days had gone by, and I'd actually kind of forgot all about that night. A couple days had gone by, and I was returning to my parents' house from somewhere. When I walked in the door, my mom was actually on the phone, and she goes, oh, here he is. He just walked in the door just a second. And I'm like, who is it? And she goes, it's Sean McCartan, the jogger, the youth pastor from the other night. And then he asked me, he said, do you remember seeing me the other night, Darren? And I wanted to lie. I wanted to be like, what are you talking about? Midnight? That night, I was home in my bed. I don't know. I wasn't doing it. What are you talking about? I mean, I really wish that I had the ability to lie to him, and I'm glad I didn't. But I admitted that I had seen him, and he asked if we could do breakfast the next morning, and I didn't want to, but I said, okay. And so in breakfast, he just loved on me. I shared with him, you know, how I had felt, the struggles that I had gone through. And he knew I went into the Marine Corps, hopefully to get money to college, hopefully to become a youth pastor. And I just told him, I said, I've messed up. I've ruined my chances of being a youth pastor. And he just loved on me. And he just reminded me that we serve a God of redemption. Those are lies of the enemy telling you that you've ruined your future. We serve a God of redemption. And he was telling me how God could forgive me of my sins and that he could still use me if I would allow him to use me. And it was a huge turning point in my life. Two or three days later, I left back for the Marine Corps to my new duty station, and immediately I found a church. I got involved in a church, the church where I met my wife, Stacy. And I'm here today as a pastor doing ministry. I love this testimony. It's a great testimony. But here's the thing about this story and the reason I share it. It's not about me. It's about Pastor Sean. You see, it would have been real easy for him to have said, oh, there's another youth who's messed up his life and just kept going and not made a phone call. But he didn't. Even though he saw me in the midst of my sin, he saw that I still had value. Enough to make that difficult call, right? How many of us have seen, but we don't want to call. We don't want to, well, I don't know if I should call. I don't know if I should do that. He made that call. Because he saw beyond the tainted, sinful Darren, and he valued enough to reach out to me and to show me God's love. Not to tell me, oh, you're a sinner, Darren. If you don't get your life together, you're going to hell. No. He just loved me, and he told me how much God loved me, and he reminded me that my past didn't define my future. That my value didn't come from who I was the night that he saw me when he was out for a jog, but that my value comes from the God who created me. And it reminds us that we're called to value people. We're called to value everyone, which leads me to my third and final question. How do we truly value people? Once again, my quick and easy answer is, do what Jesus did, right? Live your life like Jesus lived his. And the question is, what did Jesus do? How did he live his life? Well, one of the things is this. He got outside the walls of the temple. Jesus didn't just come and hang out in the temple and speak in the temple and read scriptures in the temple. He got outside the walls of the temple. He set the example that he challenged us to follow in Mark 16:15, which I read earlier, that says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. He set that example for us. It doesn't say there, go and sit in church waiting for people to come to you. No, it says, go, right? Go into all the world. That's what Jesus did. He went out into the world. Now, church is good. Don't hear me wrong. Like, don't show up at church anymore. Just go out, right? Church is good. Paul tells us, right, that we can't neglect gathering together as the church. We should come together here on Sundays as much as possible. And that's because when we gather together, we're able to build one another up and strengthen one another. We're able to be that iron that sharpens iron. But you see, the reason we build each other up, the reason we come together to sharpen one another, is so that then we can go out into the world and do what Jesus did. We can go out and live our life for him. And the amazing thing about Jesus is that he met people right where they were at. Right where they were. Not where he wanted them to be, but where they were. Let's make sure we catch that part there, because that part is so important. We've messed up as the church as a whole of we try to meet people where they're at, if they are at where we want them to be, right? But Jesus didn't value people for where they were at in that moment. The value was in who they can be, who he desires them to be. We have trouble valuing people because we want them to be here or at this level, But they're still back over here, down at this level. And so we have trouble valuing them. We tend to focus on where they are in the moment. Oh, man, have you seen so-and-so? Look at how messed up they are. We look at them in the moment instead of seeing the potential of who they could be. Meeting them in that place. If we look at the life of Jesus, we see that he went out of his way to meet people where they were at. He met people in the midst of their brokenness. And he valued them despite their sin and their failures. A great example of this is the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. I'm guessing some of you may be familiar with the story of the woman at the well. I'm not going to read the whole story. If you're not familiar with that story and want to take a closer look at it, it's found in John chapter 4, and I encourage you, you could go and read the whole story. But in this section of Scripture, Jesus is waiting for his disciples outside of the city, and while he's alone there, he approaches this Samaritan woman at a well, and he asks her for a drink of water. Now, the thing we have to understand here is that Jesus went way out of his way to connect with this woman. And here's why. You see, this woman was a Samaritan. And in these times, Jews, which Jesus was a Jew, if you didn't know that, Jews did not associate with Samaritans. It actually tells you this in the scripture where this encounter happens. I want to read to you just one section of this scripture found in John 4:9. It says this: "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?' For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." It says it right there in the scriptures. And so Jesus, he went out of his way to reach out to this Samaritan woman. And the thing is, not only was this woman a Samaritan, she was a woman who was actually alone, which again, in these times, would have made it socially inappropriate for Jesus to speak to her, to talk with her. And then on top of all that, she was living in sin. She had been married 5 times. And at this moment in time, she was actually living with a man that wasn't her husband. Now, if we're being honest, most people wouldn't have valued a woman like this, especially in these days. This is honestly probably why she was out at the well at this time all by herself. Usually, you would travel to the well with many women, right? But she was out there all by herself, and it was probably because she had no one else that valued her or cared for her. So no one else was with her. She was by herself. And the crazy thing is Jesus knew everything about this woman. He told her that you have 5 and right now you're living with the person that's not yours. He knew all these things. And he still went out of his way to meet this woman in her mess. Jesus saw beyond the tainted, sinful life she was stuck in, and he met her right where she was at. He saw the value that was hidden behind all the years of failure and brokenness. And because of this encounter, her life was changed forever. This is who Jesus is, a loving God who is willing to meet people, all people, right where they're at. I'm going to go off my notes for a minute right now, because I feel like Jesus is just saying that maybe there's someone here today who feels like that Samaritan woman. Maybe it's sin, maybe it's struggles, maybe it's challenges. I don't know. But God wants to meet you right now, and he wants you to know how much he values you. He doesn't look at the sin. He looks beyond that and sees this person that he created. And so if that's you this morning, I just encourage you, God loves you. He sees you, and he wants to meet you right where you're at. Let's Let's move on. I want to share one more example this morning. Some of you may remember the story of Zacchaeus, right? Some of you may remember that song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he, right? I don't even know if that's right. I know parts of the song, I can't even remember exactly how it goes, but I remember that song we used to sing about climb up in a sycamore tree, right? But the story of Zacchaeus is found in Luke 19, and it's a short story, and so I want to go ahead and read that whole story to you this morning, that whole encounter. It's Luke 19, 1 through 10. This is what it says. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down and at once welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost." I love this story. Now, we see here there was obviously excitement in the air. And I'm guessing many of them were trying to see what was going on. The crowds were growing around Jesus here. Who was this Jesus? What is he saying? What is he doing? You can just imagine this man, Zacchaeus, right, who was short in stature, trying to peek over the shoulders of people that are there, but he couldn't see because he was too short. And so he finally climbs up in a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. And in the midst of all that is going on, the chaos of all the people around, Jesus stops and takes notice of Zacchaeus up there in the tree. Now, we don't know how far away or what the scene actually looked like on that day. But I've always imagined Jesus kind of seeing Zacchaeus off from a distance and kind of having to work his way through the crowd just to get to Zacchaeus. Again, I don't know if Jesus had to go out of his way to get to Zacchaeus or not there through the crowd. But for Jesus to stop what he was doing and then go to the house of Zacchaeus, that was going out of his way, right? That was meeting Zacchaeus right where he was at. And it's pretty obvious by these scriptures that Zacchaeus wasn't a man that too many people valued. It actually says in verse 7 that all the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to the guest of a sinner." And I want you to notice there that it says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, right? It didn't say a few people, a couple people, the Pharisees. It says all of them saw and muttered these words. Now, I'm pretty sure that they felt this way because he was a tax collector, right? And nobody liked tax collectors. They were considered traitors and cheats because many of them were fellow Jews who had chosen to work for the Roman government. And they got rich by charging their own people extra taxes. If the taxes of the Romans weren't enough, they added extra taxes on top and then kept those for themselves to become rich, to make money off of them, right? But here again, even though no one else saw value in Zacchaeus, Jesus saw the value. Jesus saw value in him. And just like the Samaritan woman, his life was changed forever. Now, I could go on and on with examples of how Jesus valued people, right? Because all throughout the Gospels, there are stories of Jesus valuing people. He was willing to meet them right where they were at, to meet them in the midst of their failures. Why? Because he valued all of them so greatly. Think about that. If we truly value something, then we're willing to go out of our way for it. Jesus valued these people because he saw beyond their sin and failures. He saw the amazing potential in all of them. He saw the person he had created them to be. What if we looked at people in the same way? What if we could learn to look at people like this? What if instead of focusing on people's sin and failures, we focused on the reality that they are all God's creation? Everyone we come in contact is God's creation. And whether we believe it or not, everyone around us was created in His image. Whether they're reflecting that image or not, we are all created in His image. And what if, like Jesus, we went and met all people right where they were at? This is what we're talking about when we say that we value people here at Dallas Four Square Church. It means that we believe Jesus is for everyone. It means that all are welcome and all are loved, right? We used to say, come as you are, and it's a great line. But just saying come as you are isn't necessarily saying we'll still love you as you are. And so we've kind of changed it to all are welcome, all are loved. It also means that we aren't confined to these four walls. When we say we value people, it's not just, oh, we're only going to value the people that walk in these doors. We get to go out and to meet people where they're at, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, in the grocery store, at the gas station, wherever we go, the people that show up here on my parking lot. A great guy named Danny that's been staying out here. Had great conversations with him. I've invited him to come to church. He hasn't done that yet. But we're going to love people outside the walls of this church. We're going to meet people where they're at. We're going to invite them to come and hang out with us, to come as they are, regardless of how broken or messed up they may be. You see, every person in our community is important to Jesus, which means every person in our community is important to us here at Dallas Four Square Church. And my heart is that we are a church that doesn't just say we value people, but that we actually follow the example of Jesus and do it. There's a song that when I first heard it, it offended me. It's on the radio, Christian radio. It's a great song, actually. But it offended me because it was like, the sign on the door says, come as you are. I doubt it. And I mean, it was like, wait, what? And I understand. It's true. I talk about the church all the time. And it's true. The church as a whole has said, come as you are. But we don't really mean it. But it offended me because... I mean it, and I want all of us to mean it, that people can walk in this door as they are. All are welcome, and all will be loved, because we're learning to love like Jesus has called us to love. We're learning to value people the way Jesus has called us to value people. So I don't want it to just be something that's said. I don't want it to be just a cool phrase at the bottom of our sign out there. I want it to be true of who we are. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for these core values that you've given us. And Lord, I thank you for just the opportunity to walk through these core values so we can truly understand, what does it mean when we say we value people? What does that mean, Lord? It means we want to value and love people the way you do. It means we got to go beyond ourselves and love like you love. It means we need more of you and less of us, Lord. And so, Lord, the only way we can truly value people, the only way we can truly love people the way you desire us to, is through the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we just want to seek you. We want to seek to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. We want to continue to pray that Psalm 139, search my heart, know my ways. Is there anything wicked in me, Lord? I want to give it to you. those things that would cause me to not value people, those things that would cause me to think badly of certain people, Lord, I want to give all of those things to you and learn how to be the person you've called me to be that values and loves people in the way that you desire me to, Lord. Lord, I want to follow you. I pray that that's the prayer of our church, that we would be people who follow you, who follow your example. And Lord, as you walk this earth, you loved and valued all people. It's a beautiful thing. It's why it's one of our core values. And Lord, we just want to grow in what it means to do that. We're imperfect, Lord. We're going to make mistakes in that. It's hard when people have hurt us. It's hard for those that seem unlovely or broken or even choose not to follow you or choose to say bad things about us. It's hard. How do we value those people? But Lord, help us to have your heart. Help us to see beyond the surface. We take things personally, but nothing is personal. Everything is spiritual. Beyond those words is a person that you created. Beyond those words is someone that was created in your image. Help us to see in that way, to love people. And in that, Lord, as we love people, we just pray that, Lord, you restore people, that you redeem people, that you bring people to that place of righteousness. And so we give all these things to you, Lord. Allow these things just to meet all of us where we're at, Lord. Help us to have ears and hearts open to hear what is it you're speaking to us today and how we value people. Who are the people that you're challenging us to value, Lord? Is it coworkers? Is it neighbors? Is it people we come into contact with throughout our day, Lord? Just teach us how to be people who love you, who love people and value them, Lord. We give this word to you. Allow it again just to meet us where we're at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.